thankful for what has come before us today. It was said it's sometimes easier going last. Actually, I think sometimes it's harder going last because everybody's eyeballs on you if you take too long, and you're the one that's blamed. So. Anyhow, y'all please pray for me. I'm thankful to be able to be here, thankful to see friends and those that we've gotten to know over times of coming down to this area preaching. Always thoroughly enjoyed it and enjoy the fellowship. Always have a sweet, sweet spirit down here. It's my first time being here at Little Vine, and thankful for your pastor, Brother Evans, and his dear family for being the host here at this meeting, and pray that the Lord will richly bless y'all. And I see and feel a good spirit here as I came into this church, and thankful for that.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles with you and you would like to turn with me, please turn with me over to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. I'd like to begin here in verse 15. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see, or what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. If God be with me today, I would like to speak to you today concerning the subject, and this has been on my mind this week tremendously. And I said, Lord, if it be your will, I'll try to deliver it if I'm called upon. If not, I'll be thankful to be in the house of the Lord, but I will do my very best. But salvation hath visited Dothan. Salvation hath visited Dothan. You say, Brother Brad, how in the world do you get salvation hath visited Dothan? Are you being mockerous here? I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Joseph, in many ways, was a picture of Jesus Christ, of the one to come. The Holy Spirit was great with Joseph in a mighty way. God had worked with Joseph in a mighty way with the dreams that God had given him, and he had proclaimed it earlier unto his brethren and his father. A lot of times people would say that would be pretty braggadocious if you ask me, or pretty cocky or bold to be able to say that. But the preaching of the gospel when God is with you and the Spirit is with you is bold. We ought to be bold preaching the gospel and preach it boldly in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Joseph there that day, my dear friends, had proclaimed it unto his father, and his father earlier had said, What is this? Why are you saying that we're going to bow down to you, your father, your mother, your brethren? How can you say such a thing as that? And I'm thinking, wouldn't this be similar to us if we heard our children say something like this? We'd be there, wouldn't we? Yet little did they know what was unfolding before their very eyes at that time. Brothers and sisters, you find that Joseph was there and he had proclaimed this. And these brethren were jealous. It even goes into depth and detail that they hated him. They despised him before. Why? Because their father loved him and his younger brother Benjamin greatly. Brothers and sisters, haven't you ever labored for something so hard? And you labor and you labor. And the very one that you're laboring with, the one that you're working for, the one that you're doing all that you can to honor and respect them, turn on you like his father-in-law did that time, Laban, on to Jacob. Didn't keep his word, did he? He had to labor more for his love, his first love. Aren't you thankful that we have a Savior, a Father, a Heavenly Father that is faithful, that loves us? It doesn't matter about what all the cost is involved. Jacob loved Rachel that much, brothers and sisters. That's an awesome God that he loves us that much.
Amen.
And when Joseph and Benjamin was born, let me tell you, she couldn't have children like Leah was having children. But God had brought them children unto her. God had richly blessed her with these children. And let me tell you, it was a special gift unto him. I'm sure that every time that he looked unto them, he thought about all that he had sacrificed, all that he had given up for these for this wife of his that he loved so dearly, that he knew he loved that much. And look at all the grief that he got because of the great love that he had for her. But brothers and sisters, the grief was well worth it. Why? Because he loved her. And he chose her. Brothers and sisters, we're putting the picture together of grace. The election and predestination of God the Father that he has for his dear children. How beautiful is this? And so here's Joseph. His father sends him shortly after all this talk about his dreams to check on his brother. And they see him far off. And see, that they were supposed to be in Shechem. Shechem is a place where you remember that the prince of Shechem was the very one in which that was over that land, and the whole thing was handled so delicately because of Dinah and what he had done unto their sister Dinah. And you remember how evil and wicked and ungodly that the brethren had treated those men there of that city and that place of Shechem. How dare them go back into the area to feed their sheep, to make gain again for themselves. How dare them, my dear friends, in such a way to treat people in such a way as that. And here, there's a whole picture there. Don't think I'm speaking completely derogatory about the area. But look, Joseph here goes into the area in which they're supposed to be. He's wandering. And this man sees Joseph and he sends him to the place in which they go to feed the sheep there in Dothan. And if you don't know, and I'm sure you do, Dothan here, it was named after the ancient city, the biblical city of Dothan. In certain books you can find that. But let me tell you, they were there feeding their sheep. And little did they know their salvation to come was visiting them. I want us to think about how Jesus Christ was accepted when he came into this world. He wasn't accepted very well and warm, was he? There was no room for them in the inn, for his parents, his mother and Joseph that was coming in with this babe. There was no room for them in the inn. And all that there was there with the sheep laid. And my dear friends, what a beautiful picture that is of Jesus Christ being the Word. Not only the Word, but he gives us also the spoken Word, the Gospel, the written Word through Jesus Christ our Lord. My dear friends, also, not only that, that there he laid in the manger. I want you to think about this. Where does the sheep go feed? They go feed at the manger. When we come into the house of God and we're worshiping in spirit and in truth, let me tell you, we're feasting on spiritual food, are we not? Jesus Christ there.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, as he's laying there, what a beautiful picture that was that day as he laid there in the manger. And all the sheep was gathered round. God's people that was there that day was gathered round. And there our Lord and Savior was there that day. Thus an awesome God that can deliver such a beautiful picture as that, is it not?
Yes.
And here Joseph is coming into Dothan. And they see him far off. The Savior had visited Dothan that day, and little did they know it. They didn't know what was visiting them that day. All they saw was bread in their eyes, anger, hate, and the brethren. And this is Israel. I want you to think about this. Israel was divided up among the 12 tribes of, you remember. And you can look at the map and you can find all the portions divided up. And here it is, the representation of those 12 tribes there that day, conspiring to kill Joseph, the Savior. Their Savior, there in a timely sense, but a representation of the Savior, Jesus Christ, to come. Let me tell you, you don't get any better than that. And they were there, and they were angry, and they were hating. And Reuben had enough good sense, says, let us not kill him. You'll find where Reuben later comes back, as they have conspired. I don't know where Reuben was. It doesn't give us the account of where Reuben was. It's not important. All that we know is Reuben was the very reason that his life was spared that day. God used him. Shame on him for allowing it to even go as far as it did. How many times have we been Reubens? Or maybe the brethren that conspired to kill a brother. Very scary. God have mercy on the individual that does it. You ever been in that situation in your life? I hope you never do. Maybe you came close to it. Maybe you came pretty close to it in your life. I don't know. God help us all that we don't do it. That we believe God's word, that we trust in the Lord's word. I want you to think about this. As they took Joseph there that day, ripped off that coat of many colors of that great love that his father had, the representation of that great love that his father had for him that day, And all they saw again was red. They were like the bull there, and all they see is red, and they're going to attack the red color cape. They're going to attack it. They're going to tear into it. They're going to tear it asunder because they can't stand it. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, that's what they did when they ripped that off and conspired to kill an animal and to take that blood and put that blood upon it. And let me tell you, later on they go back to their father. And what happened to their father? Their father says, well, oh my goodness, it's obvious he's been torn apart. They didn't bother to expound on any details, did they, that day?
No.
That's just as bad as just coming out with an outright lie. We have this conversation with my children constantly. You know, children will constantly not answer you when you're trying to get the answer out of them or get to the bottom of a problem. And we say, use your words, think about it, process it, speak it, get it out. Brothers and sisters, this is what they did to conspire against him. They thought this out pretty well. Shame on Reuben for not speaking up about this. Shame on all of them. But brothers and sisters, isn't that the way it is? For a child of grace, sometimes that we don't speak up for the truth. We don't stand for what's right. We're not willing to take the beating that might be coming our way, or the disciplining that might be coming our way, or whatever may be happening for standing for what's right. The Bible says, count it all joy to go through trials and tribulations for my name's sake. Those trials and those tribulations is just part of being a child of grace and part of living and doing according to God's word. It's part of it. The hardships is part of it. I want you to think about this, that there that they had sold him for money. I remember one, Judas Iscariot.
That's right.
You know, he sold, so-called, that was money, dirty money involved, 30 pieces of silver. That's 10 more than what Joseph was sold for. He was sold for 20 pieces of silver. And these brethren had this that day when he sold them unto the men. And later he was sold and he was delivered there into Egypt. And we know what all went on. But let me tell you, who knew that the Savior of those brethren in a timely sense and what was to represent Jesus Christ and what he done for us, he visited them that day at Dothan. We don't ever think about how God works in mysterious ways, do we, in a lot of places. We don't think about how sometimes them old country towns with the old country preacher and the old country church that's all wooden and doesn't have a lot of fancies. Let me tell you, can have some golden preaching come out of it in a mighty way, in a powerful way. Or maybe that old poor sinner that doesn't have much in his life, but brothers and sisters is rich in the Spirit. Ain't that great? Let me tell you, I'm describing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You go back to the Old Testament and look in Isaiah of what was prophesied, of what was to come of Jesus Christ. He was stricken. He wasn't desirous, and he was not comely. Jesus Christ was a poor man, the poorest in this world, and didn't even have a place to lay his head.
That's right.
And brothers and sisters, he didn't even own a place. And look at what we've got in today's society today. If a man doesn't have a big house, a wealthy car, or all the wealthy job, and all the political things, all in his life, let me tell you, he's not wanted. babies being born that doesn't have anything isn't wanted. Brothers and sisters, it's that simple. There's nurses out there, thanks be to some people that'll stand up for the unborn, and they take a beating for it. Are you willing to stand up for what's right? Are you willing to stand up for the truth in which that has been given unto us? We have eternal salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have an eternal home. We have paradise, as it's been mentioned today, that we get to go home to. And yet you can't stand up for what's right in the eyes of God. Have mercy. And believe. These brethren right there knew that that was their brother, and they didn't care enough to understand that maybe that this might be somebody that's going to save them out of a tremendous problem one day. They didn't understand that God was going to use him in a mighty way one day. They didn't understand that their father sat there after he rebuked him and he pondered on those things. You remember when the angel Gabriel came unto Mary and the salutation that was given unto her and all that he had said. What did Mary do? She pondered and held them close to her heart, didn't she? Could you imagine what all that mama saw through the life of Jesus Christ? And watching him grow older and older, and all the things that was going on in his life and in their lives, and her thinking about what Gabriel had said to her. Brothers and sisters, that's powerful, isn't it? And to think about, she didn't even realize the picture I just described about Jesus being laid in a manger, I bet. Oh, but God knows these things, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I'm thankful that that we're able to say that our Savior, the Lord, our Savior, the Spirit has visited us today. Aren't you thankful?
Yeah.
When we're able to meet in the house of God, we're able to and able to say that the Spirit's been there and that it's been a good day.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
Amen.
What a God. Right.
What about the Bible that tells us also? It also teaches us, save yourself from this wicked and untoward generation. Do you think that those brethren did that day? I don't think so. They brought a lot of trouble on themselves, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
You said, well, how could it have ended up like it ended up? Well, God could still use Joseph in a mighty way and still done everything he wanted to do,
yeah,
even if they had been obedient and godly and righteous. The fact is that God is God. Regardless of what they did, God took care of it, didn't he?
Amen, brother. Amen.
Do you believe?
Yeah.
Are you like that one that said, help thou my unbelief? I'm like the one that has unbelief sometimes when I'm going through the hard times, the trials, the tribulations, all the hardships. I don't know how in the world I'm going to get through what I got to get through. Sometimes I catch myself crying out, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I don't understand it. Get me through this. Save me. Help me. Deliver me. Pull me through. Pull me up out of this pit. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, What a pit that was. I just preached at Shoal Creek Primitive Baptist Church where I pastored about the life of Jonah. And it says that when Jonah had gone into that whale's belly because of the great disobedience that he had towards God, and he was swallowed up by that whale, and he was taken down into the depths of the ocean that day. And let me tell you, for 3 days and 3 nights he was in the belly's well in the depths of the sea. It said that he went to the bottoms of the mountains of the seas, and he cried out unto God from the depths that he called hell, my dear friend. I can't even imagine what he went through that day. But brothers and sisters, can you imagine how horrific it was for Joseph that day for your brethren, 11 brothers, to take you and throw you into a pit? And while they sat down to eat and drink and laugh and conspire about making a death out of you and to sell you off for money. And my dear friends, he was in that pit. And let me tell you, God got him up out of there. And let me tell you also this. Not only that, but who took care of him? It was of the Gentiles. It was of the Gentiles. I want you to turn with me over to Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 26. We're going to look at, 11, verse 26. It says, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Sion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy." They obtain mercy through God's rich mercy. And what a beautiful picture of Joseph having mercy on his brethren. Ain't that something? Here's a man that was sold into slavery. Here's a man that sat in prison. Here's a man that was brought high to a high position there at Potiphar's house. Here's a man that was falsely accused again and done wrong again by a woman that was his wife, Potiphar's wife. And there, we got so many people talking about, why did Joseph put himself in that position? Well, let me tell you something. Brother Bridgman and I was talking about this the other day. Let's look at this. Joseph was doing his job.
Right.
He was diligent about his boss's business. This woman came in on him. Brothers and sisters, haven't you ever seen that? Where somebody comes in on you and they try and conspire just like his brothers did. They try to make a way to destroy somebody, or to get their way or make profit out of you. And people sitting around, well, isn't he an ignorant soul for thinking that? Isn't he foolish for doing that? Isn't he crazy for doing what he did? He was diligent about his boss's business.
There you go.
And she came in on him, and he did the right thing and ran away. He didn't stick around, he ran out. And she grabbed hold of his coat. There goes the coat again. And tore that thing off of him. And here it goes again. They turn it over. And he goes into the depths of the prison. And God delivers him once again. Have you been falsely accused on something in your life? How are you going to handle it? You're going to be better than them. Brothers and sisters, it's painful. It's agonizing. I can't even imagine what Joseph went through. And as I told Brother Bridgman, and I were talking late one night, he's my talking buddy late at night. I'm thankful somebody's up late like I am. That's rare. You can't usually call a preacher past 9 o'clock. It's not good. And I just love it that we can talk and we see things a lot alike. I just love that. That's great. We were up talking till midnight one night when I was up late working. That was great. Let me tell you, it's just something that is sad. We can't even imagine what he went through. We can't even imagine. And what wickedness those children had brought upon their father's name. Let me tell you, I've got family, close family, not my wife, not my children. Praise God, I hope and pray it doesn't ever happen with them. They have stuck by me through thick and thin, through the trials of this old life. I'm thankful for them and pray every day God's richest blessings upon them for the cause of Christ and preaching the gospel. But let me tell you, I've had family that has just absolutely, you wonder, what in the world? Your daddy raised you better than that. If he knew about it, he would turn over in his grave. It may would be like Joseph. God took away and took that ungodliness and that unrighteousness away from Jacob and made it right again and used Joseph. Ain't that amazing? Only God can do that. That doesn't happen that often. But God did that in a mighty way. He took that which was bad and he had transformed it from bad to good because he's God. He's an able God, and he doesn't sit upon a stool for man to tell him what to do. He's an omnipotent God. He's a powerful God. He's able. He's completely able. He's not handicapped. Amen. That's the kind of God that we serve. I'm thankful for that. Amen. And that's what he did for Joseph that in his life. He took him from the pit and he brought him up. And when it didn't look too good, he brought him up farther. And when they tried to tear him down again, he brought him up higher. And later in scriptures you'll find where he describes himself to be a father of Pharaoh. A father to Pharaoh. Now that's awesome. How does that work? A Hebrew man is a father to an Egyptian Pharaoh. That means that, you know, when you treat your father with respect and honor that he deserves, even if your natural father gets sickly and old, and maybe his health ain't great, and maybe he doesn't have the wisdom he once had. But brothers and sisters, you still go around him and you still take care of him and you still love him and you care for him and you have mercy for him and you're long-suffering to him. Oh, let me tell you, because they'll fail you, your earthly fathers will fail you, but your heavenly father won't fail you. And that's the picture that was being painted that day. Joseph was a picture of Jesus Christ, which was also a picture of God the Father, because God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, they three be one. And that Father, my dear friend, will never leave thee, nor will he forsake thee. Amen. And he was a father to Pharaoh. while. I want you to think about this last portion here and we'll finish this up. In Genesis chapter 45. In Genesis chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried. Could you imagine? Cause every man to go out from me. There stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brother, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Closest thing I could get to this is when I was young and I knew I was in trouble. I knew I had disobeyed mama and daddy. And I told a story about it, tried to cover it up. And when I got caught red-handed, like any typical boy, there wasn't much I could say. You just kind of froze. And then my mom and daddy did even the worst thing for me. Confess your sin. What'd you do? Trying to get it out of me. Oh, I'll never forget that. Now I have the joy of doing that with my children. It's not joy, it's joy in the fact that I'm teaching them the right things in the Lord.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Now, that was uncomfortable, wasn't it? You remember those days? And even as adults, we still get ourselves in some kind of a bind, somehow, some way. You'd think we'd learn years ago. But that's that old sinful nature that we deal with on a daily basis. But there, they stood before Joseph. And they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Brothers and sisters, wow. And it's clicking with them. I'm sure at this time that they're remembering that dream. Don't you think? I'm sure at this time they are remembering that dream in a mighty way. They're remembering now that they had to bow down to him. They're remembering now that all of a sudden they've had to go to him for food, to be their life to be sustained. They're remembering now all that went through, that led up to this point in time. They're remembering all this. And if we turn back over to our opening scripture there in Genesis chapter 37, you'll find there, I bet you they're remembering now when he came unto Dothan. There in verse 17, and the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And they were in Dothan that day, and they're remembering now salvation had visited Dothan. And the very man that was a father to Pharaoh, a father, could have utterly destroyed them instantaneously. All he had to do was motion. those men's heads could have rolled instantaneously if he wanted it to. If he wanted it to, he could have dug a deep pit and they'd be put into the deep pit just like he was put into that deep pit, and they could have been dying out of thirst and hungered. And let me tell you, let's look back at here. What were they doing when he was in that pit? They were eating and drinking. And now there's a great famine of the land. What did they need? He could have said, "No! They treated me like dirt." Now, am I teaching you to go and hang around ungodliness? That's not what I'm teaching you. If you'll notice, Joseph didn't do that here.
Right.
These men were pleading and begging for food. The Bible teaches us to feed them that are hungry. Give them drink that are thirst. That's godliness. Joseph's exercising godliness right here in a mighty way to the very men that put him in the pit and starved him and made him thirsty, ripped his coat off of him and the glory that was put upon him by his father. And my dear friends, isn't that the way it is for a child of grace? Sometimes God will elevate people. You remember that Paul told Timothy, he said, "Let no man despise thy youth." Let me tell you, why did he say that? Verse reads just like this. People despised the youth of Joseph that day. And God in a mighty way used Joseph to deliver them out of all that they had going on at that time of that great famine. And right coming up there, let me tell you this, and I promise I'll keep it real short as possible. Brother Evans said, "Take your time. I'm trying to just keep it within the time frame, the Holy Spirit here." The right here, you have them, brethren, looking at him and in need of him. And I'm sure there was some repentance going on that day. As we ought to repent one to another, shouldn't we? What does the Bible teach us to do? To repent means stop what you're doing, turn from your wicked ways, and to sin no more. Now we sin, don't we? Still, because we deal with this old flesh. But one that trieth and goeth in the direction. And we're going to look at this one more point. That there, when he had forgiven them and all this was done, he gave them a place to stay. You know, it was mentioned earlier, paradise. And what Christ had done for us and the sacrifice and all this. Joseph gave them the very best of the territory of Egypt that was outside where he stayed. Kept them close by and took care of them and gave them the very best. Hasn't your father given you the very best?
Absolutely.
You know, that place, Goshen, is what that place was called, that he gave them. And it was a place of cultivation. It was a place where the sheep could feed. It was a place that was green and healthy. If you've ever watched documentaries on Egypt, Egypt doesn't look too healthy, does it? But this was the best of what they had. The father to Pharaoh gave them the very best. What an awesome God we serve. And if you look at the map of the territory of Israel, you'll not see Joseph's name on there. but his two sons. If you take him and Benjamin, they make up the largest territory of what was given to the children of Israel. What an awesome God we serve. May we not despise you. May we not despise what blessings God has given us in our lives. May we be able to believe in the truth, stand for the truth, and hold to the truth, and hold fast to what grace that has been bestowed upon us, and to be able to preach, us ministers preaching the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, and hold fast to it. And may we be able to be more like Joseph's and appreciate when salvation has been sent and visited unto us. Thank you for your time, your kind, sweet attention. Continue to keep me in your prayers, and keep this pastor here in your prayers and all the ministers here.
Amen.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Amen.
I'm going to ask all the preachers here to come on up, and we'll have a handshake. And if we do, we'll give the time to get the meal ready in the lunchroom. So y'all come on up as we sing number 124 in our song book. I think about the time when Brother Jeff was preaching about the y'all rise. Speaking about the time that we were going, he was speaking about Lazarus' tomb, and said there was not a snicker. But what went through my mind was the sound of Jesus.